Hello, Liberty lovers, and welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I am Michael, and I'm here with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
So we're drinking the same whiskey.
Yeah, we liked it, so
yeah,
went right back to it again.
Turns out Gary made a good choice for Christmas presents.
Hey, happens every now and then.
Yeah, actually, I mean, so I got gifts from more than one person. That's like, here's whiskey. Like, yeah, it's hard to go wrong.
Yeah,
I got Weller from somebody else.
Nice.
Anyway, this one's really good too, and it's got a very different kind of flavor. So
it's the four roses. What was the
small batch?
Yeah,
like four I said, roses, I thought they were all small batch, but I
don't think so, because this was the higher shelf one. So.
Yeah, it was on the higher shelf.
It was on the higher shelf.
Put it right in front of your eyes.
Exactly.
Good choice. Yeah. Well done. I hadn't had it before, so I appreciate it.
Definitely enjoying it.
I was thinking about making cocktails for tonight. They had a special on citrus at the Fresh Market over the weekend, I guess. I bought a bunch of lemons.
Ah.
So I could make some sours.
Yeah.
Various kinds of sours. I had the White Lady cocktail last night, which is like a sidecar except with gin instead of brandy. So it's gin and lemon juice and triple sec.
Ah.
It was quite tasty.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was quite tasty. I had a sidecar again recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just I guess I've gotten so used to the gin version instead of the brandy version that it just didn't, it didn't strike me the same way.
Doesn't do it for you anymore.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, it's still a good cocktail, but. Now I have to say, given the choice,
you have a preference now.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, like, at least some places people know what a sidecar is when you order it.
Yeah,
and nobody knows what a White Lady cocktail is when you order it.
And they just look at you.
No idea.
You have to give me some ingredients, buddy.
Yep. And proportions.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's good. That way, you know, you get it exactly how you want it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No spin-offs.
It could be worse.
There are worse things.
Yeah. Well, I thought that we might start kind of where we left off, or at least on a topic that's come up more than once on the podcast.
Yeah.
But our discussion on the last podcast, which was only a couple of days ago, and, you know, maybe if you listen to them back to back, it'll seem like one.
It seemed like it never stops, right?
One fluid thing is to just talk about the justice system here in the U.S. I mean, we addressed it a little bit talking about the DUI thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worth bringing up here, because this was one of the concessions that I got from you on our disagreement about DUI laws, is that that you would the penalties would be different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, as it is, most real crimes, I don't consider DUI a real crime, but most real crimes carry with it some incarceration time.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that is at cross purposes to what a justice system is supposed to do. Like, the idea of a justice system is to provide justice to the victims.
I'd agree with that.
Can we agree that there are not crimes without victims?
Oh, I can definitely agree with that. In general. I mean, obviously the DUI thing kind of falls flat on its face there.
Yeah, but, I was going to ask that next.
Yeah, no, I knew that was coming. Yeah, I mean, overall, absolutely. I mean, I'm definitely... I believe in that. I mean, I do feel like this is one of
except for this one odd exception.
This one odd exception, yeah,
where there is no victim.
Yeah, it's like I say, I'm not gonna say it's not a problem for me to kind of to thread that needle there, but it's like I say, it's a bridge too far for me. But it's definitely.
Can you guys hear that in the mic? That was a really loud truck that went by.
Squirrel.
Okay, so if crimes must have victims, then the idea of a justice system is to make the victim whole in some way.
Yeah.
To try and provide some kind of compensation to the victim to make up for what they've lost.
Agreed.
Okay. Our justice system doesn't really do that at all.
No, and that's part of the problem in general with the way our justice system and our laws are set up right now. I mean, there's for one, there's so many laws that just shouldn't be laws anyway. And then when you get caught up in our justice system, the way it's set up, nobody wins when somebody ends up into the justice system. Like, there's just, you end up with people in jail that shouldn't be, and even if they should be, they come out worse than they went in, mm-hmm. and there's just, it's a bad system all the way around.
And the victim doesn't really get anything out of it.
Exactly.
But I would disagree with you on a point there.
Okay.
You said nobody wins when people get involved in the justice system. I would say that there are two groups that win, actually.
Okay.
One is the attorneys.
Well, yeah.
The attorneys win, and two is the state.
Yeah. Well, the state definitely wins. I mean, I don't know enough about the attorney end of it to cite you one way or the other, but the state definitely wins. I mean, it's definitely a win-win for them. I mean, it's revenue, and it's control and power.
Yeah. Well, and I've said before that I have a problem with the state having a monopoly on the legal system anyway.
Yeah.
That they write the laws, enforce the laws, and interpret the laws.
Yeah, and they're not accountable to anybody. So if you're wronged through the justice system, the only way you have to try to right that is to go back through the same system that's already screwed you.
Yeah,
like there's no way, and you can say, well, there's accountability there and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is there isn't.
Yeah, like, I was going to ask the obvious question there is who's accountable?
Exactly. Well, nobody. There is no accountability there. It's just not. I'm just saying somebody that would argue the other side of that would say, well, you know, I mean, that's why you have justices and blah, 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 or mm-hmm. different justices and appeals and things like that.
Yeah.
But the truth is it doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. Well, they're all on the same team.
Exactly.
And it's not your team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's certainly true. I think that the big problem is that the purpose of the justice system should be to try and compensate victims for their losses. Now, I know that it can't be a perfect compensation either. Yeah. We certainly don't want to go into eye for an eye kind of thing. revenge type punishments tend to just incite more revenge.
Yeah, right? Because it just doesn't work. Looking for revenge is in any situation, whether it be like what we're talking about here or even like in your home life or things like that. It's just that's not a good path to go down.
Yeah. Well, you end up with some situations, I think, though, where you run into the same problem that we complain about with the state when we talk about like taxation.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're all slaves to the state in some way because a significant portion of our income, like we work for a significant portion of the year just to pay the state.
Gotta pay Big Daddy State.
We work so that the money can go to the state, not to us. We're the ones working for it. Doesn't that make us slaves to some degree? Well, I mean, you can run into the same problem with a compensatory justice system too, right? Yeah. Where somebody commits a property crime against somebody, does some damage or whatever, and then they are forced to pay for the losses, and maybe they don't have the money on hand, so now they're working for this person to try and pay them back in a way. And is that some kind of form of slavery or a portion? You know, like
it's a still, partial to slavery. To me, it's still not though, because I mean, they still made the decision to rob or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and that's the difference, I think. Right, is that the state
was still
is taking
a conscious decision made.
There. Yeah. The state is taking your money for nothing.
Yeah, no matter what. It doesn't matter. There's no avoiding it. There,
yeah.
You know.
If you're paying somebody back for some crime that you've committed against them, then you took and you're repaying them. They're not stealing it from you.
Exactly. And once you pay them, you've paid your debt. You never pay your debt as far as taxes go. To me, that's the difference. I mean,
that's true.
You know.
Well, I was thinking of it in other terms because we were talking about last time that once you've served your time, once you've completed your obligations to the justice system, if you've committed a crime, that should be the end of it, but it's not.
It never is, yeah.
And I don't know that it ever would be in a social situation either. But yeah. The idea that judges and so forth, that you touched on this earlier, the idea that judges or law enforcement agents or anybody else is therefore above reproach because of their title,
yeah.
Is just, they're all people.
Yep.
You know, exactly. People are self-interested.
Yep.
People have, you know, they have their own point of view that they're trying to enforce. So this is a, you know, this is a problem as long as people are involved. And in smaller scale societies, you do have judges. Yep. Judges are picked because, you know, they're the wisest people in the small community or that kind of thing. There's a lot more input from other people in the community in those kind of situations than there is in our current justice system. Mm-hmm. And I also have a problem. I mean, I'm kind of bouncing from one topic to another, so you can just stop me just, whenever.
Yeah.
But I do also have a problem with the idea that justice is blind.
Yeah.
You know, ideally they say that the, you know, justice should be blind. It's just the facts and, that there should be kind of a uniform way of treating everybody who's done the same thing. And I don't believe in that either.
That doesn't work. And that's part of the reason I have such a big problem with mandatory minimums.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how mandatory minimums work, is where you did this, so automatically, regardless of what the judge thinks, this is the punishment there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a problem there because so many situations have a lot of nuance involved.
Right.
You know, and that's the reason we don't have like computers making these decisions.
Yeah.
Because you could have a computer make these decisions, but there will be no, once again, there's no nuance in that.
Yeah.
You know?
If you want objectivity, then people is not the way to do it.
Yeah.
But you don't want objectivity. You do want subjectivity, I think.
Exactly.
You want somebody who's going to consider the totality of circumstances when they assign a punishment.
Exactly.
You know, if you have the situation where somebody robbed from a store for a thrill versus somebody who robbed from a store because they didn't have money to purchase food,
yeah.
There's a difference between those two people. Your computer puts out the same punishment for both of them,
yeah.
But I don't think that they both deserve the same punishment, even though they both committed the same crime.
Same crime, yeah.
And that's the purpose of selecting judges, that is people that you think can be wise enough to...
to make these decisions.
Appropriately.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, that's really all I have on that. I think I just thought it was something interesting to bring up.
Yeah.
And of course, to pull out a little got you on the DUI not having a victim thing, once you agreed with me that
crimes have victims. I think if you're going to have DUI laws, which I do support,
mm-hmm.
I think that the punishments should go along with what the crime actually was,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean... to me, if you're getting behind the wheel drunk enough to be stopped and gotten a DUI,
mm-hmm.
maybe some rehab or something is called for. I don't think we should lock them in a cage.
Yeah. Well, then that's actually something worth talking about. Then what's the point of having a law?
Yeah.
Right? If you have a law that says that there should be some form of punishment for engaging in this activity, then you have to enforce it that way.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't have the law, then you have law enforcement that can make a judgment call. If they see somebody weaving around that hasn't actually done any damage to anybody at this point, they can pull them over, either give them a ride home, make them pick up their car the next day, or even like if the person's belligerent and so forth, take them in and throw them in a cage overnight until they sober up in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that kind of thing in the Old West stories, you know, where they picked up the drunk guys on the street and they just threw them in the locker overnight until they sobered up.
Yeah. Well, and in the movies, they're always there like extensively because like I can't
they're
think...
there night after night after night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe this person needs help.
Yeah, and maybe they do. I've always found that peer pressure has a much greater effect on people's behavior than laws.
Okay. Yeah.
And especially if you're looking at a community level involvement.
Yeah.
You know, people can get involved with the town drunk
and
try and push them in the right direction. And that those people's opinions and pressure from individuals is, I think, more effective than just threatening them with jail time.
Yeah. Well, see, and I'm not for threatening them with jail time. Like, I just don't mm-hmm. think that's the... I just don't see the point of that. I don't see where that gets you in the end of the day. whereas like doing something to try to move these people into the proper direction, or at least convince them that they shouldn't be driving drunk, even if they're going to get drunk every day.
Like, yeah, whatever. But you don't need laws to do that.
Yeah.
See, now, what you've also set up with laws is now they have a record.
Yeah.
That this can affect, you know, other employment things in their and lives.
Things like yeah. that. Yeah.
So I don't expect to come to an agreement on no. this, but I'm just trying to push for as many concessions as I can.
Yeah, and you're trying to poke as many holes in my. In me as you can.
Well, that too.
I never did get a chance to put this up on the Liberty Mic. I haven't been on Facebook hardly at all, so.
Well, luckily, I don't feel like democracy is an appropriate way of making decisions anyway.
Yeah, because you know you're going to lose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely on this one. So,
but that's okay.
In fact, somebody said that to me at work today.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I agree with Liberty Larry yeah. on the DUI thing. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, I suspect that most people will.
Most people will, yep. Yeah.
But you know, and I made the same point to him, which, do you think a crime needs a victim?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
there isn't one here.
Yeah. Who's like, the victim in a DUI? Yeah. And he said the, you know, person whose property was damaged or was hurt or whatever. I said, no, but we're talking about pulling somebody over before that happens.
Right. There's already once they've done something.
Yeah. There's already laws to deal with that.
Exactly.
You know? There's other laws to deal with that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, what they do is that they bring revenue to the state, not to the person who is actually damaged.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's just another example of things that we've talked about. I mean, we had the To Protect and Serve episode. There's at least one other that was almost exclusively about this kind of thing, but I can't think of specifically what it was, where we talk about that the state is set up. The state and the agents of the state are set up to protect the state and agents of the state, not to protect you.
Exactly.
And so if you have a loss because of a crime that was committed by somebody, the state's not trying to make you whole.
Yeah. It's just trying to
collect itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So moving on to the next topic. This is our first, it's January 2nd. This is our first episode in the new year.
Happy New Year's.
It's Happy 2020. New Year. Yeah. And now it's safe to say it. So happy New Year, everyone! Happy New Year, Gary.
Same to you.
No longer bad luck.
Yeah.
But then the I think a good question is, what do you think was the most important story in 2019?
I don't know. I mean, I thought about it a little bit, but I mean, to me, I think it's got to be the Mueller report, and not so much because of what it me, just because it was covered so heavily. And then fell so flat on its face when it was actually. But you think back to the beginning of this year, that's all you heard was Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, if you watch the news, you heard about it day in and day out. And then it was just.
Yeah, he's finally going to save us all by finally getting this traitor Trump out of the office.
Exactly. Man, that's all you heard. And it was insane. And then it just fell flat on its face and then it was gone. But to me, that's a big deal. Like the fact that the media could be so hard on something, completely get it wrong. And it's they think there's no repercussions for that at all.
Yeah.
In reality, the repercussions are people just don't. I don't know that people ever really trusted the media, but they really don't now.
Yeah. And those numbers have got to be a lot of reason not to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's certainly an interesting story in that it was going to show that we had a Manchurian candidate in the White House. Yeah. And that's what we heard all the time. There was all this Russian collusion, and they spent 2 years investigating this, 2+ years investigating this.
Yep.
And in the end, the report said that not a single person in the Trump campaign was involved in collusion with the Russians.
Yeah, right.
So everything that it promised, it delivered absolutely none of it.
Yeah. And, people went to jail over it, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it was all process crime.
Well,
stuff.
Exactly.
And older crimes.
And
like
old
there was
crime
the tax
stuff.
Which
once again brings up another thing. Like Trump is just like, I don't believe he's squeaky clean, but the fact that he can get through a probe like this with nothing directly tied to him.
Yeah.
Says something.
Yeah. Well, I do think that he's a patriot. I think he's misguided.
I agree with that.
But I think that he's a patriot. I think that...
He wants to do what's best for the country. He just doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So.
And then some of the people that were involved in the investigation, I actually question their motives a lot more.
Yeah.
Do they want what's best for the country or not?
No. I absolutely question their motives.
That's an interesting one. I disagree.
What was yours?
I don't think that was the most important story. I think the most important story of 2019 was the Afghanistan papers.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
For any of us that were keeping up.
Yeah.
If you were out there looking at alternative media and like really reading what was going on in the Middle East and or had been keeping track of it, if you listened to Scott Horton's podcast and or read his book, you already knew all this stuff. Pretty much.
None of this was a surprise. Right?
And of course, he's not my only source. There's plenty of others out there, but I mean, that's a good.
But he's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it wasn't a surprise, but I mean, I guess the surprise of it was that they actually reported it. It didn't get a whole lot of attention.
I was going to say it didn't get picked up a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean,
unfortunately,
it didn't get nearly the attention that it deserves. But I do find it interesting that a mainstream media site, the Washington Post in this case, actually published several stories identifying that their sources were lying to them the whole time. Because I mean, those same media sources had been telling us how well the war had been going on for all this time, too.
Exactly.
But I find it interesting that they actually published it, and I hope that enough people paid attention to it, or that it caught enough people's attention. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that it's too far away for most people.
It is.
That it really doesn't matter. And, you know, we covered the Afghanistan papers on this podcast and tried to point out that literally 25 cents out of every dollar that you spend to the U.S. government funds this.
Yeah,
so
right.
maybe you should think that it's important too, exactly. Even though it's far away.
Yeah.
But I think that was the biggest news story, is just another example of how your government is willing to lie to you about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
I talk about undermining, like your story essentially undermined the trustworthiness of the press.
Of the media, yeah.
And my story undermines the credibility of the government.
Government, yeah. It's interesting that we both picked those two different ones.
Yeah, and I think both of them are important for exactly those reasons.
I agree.
And that's probably the point that's most important about each of them.
Yeah.
Is what it says about where you're getting your information.
What it says about these institutions.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I had one more story, and we're going to make this kind of a short podcast. It's only been 2 days after all.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's worth talking about, and I didn't have enough information really. And there's some other things that I do want to talk about, but I want to dig a little bit deeper, have more information when we have a full time period to get ready.
Yeah.
Well, and I say that, like, I mean, I want to go into more background on Ukraine.
Okay.
I think it's important that people understand what's been going on there over the last decade.
Because if you're listening to the media, you're not getting the whole story. No. I can tell you that.
Definitely
for sure.
Not. I mean, you should have read this, what do you call it? Just like a, it's not a memo, but it's like the regular correspondence that our...
Byrne sends out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What does he call his thing? Newsletter. It's like a newsletter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his thing on Ukraine was just, I was like, well, that's just a lie. And that's only part of the truth there. And you're leaving him out probably the most important part of that. Yeah, so for those of you that don't have the time to dig all this up, I would really like to fill in
the gaps.
Some information on Ukraine.
Just to at least give the whole picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do it like, what's that Canadian guy? That did the YouTube videos that were sometimes good and sometimes weren't. Molyneux, right?
Oh, Molyneux.
And so it would be the truth about X.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do about the truth about Russia, Ukraine, or the truth about Crimea, or I don't know, something.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So sometime soon we'll do that.
Coming soon.
For now, though,
yeah.
I do think that we should talk about what's going on in Iraq.
Okay.
So if you listen to the news media or your government, what you will learn is that, history began on December 27th, when some group fired a rocket into a U.S. base in Kirkuk, Iraq. And it killed a U.S. contractor and injured several U.S. servicemen and a couple of Iraqi servicemen as well.
Yeah.
All right. The U.S. blamed a Shia militia known as Kataib Hezbollah and, you know, claimed they're an Iran-backed militia because they're Shia.
Yeah.
Not really just, for any other reason than that.
That just makes them Iranian.
Yeah, exactly. But this group is part of Iraq's official security forces.
Okay.
And then 2 days later, on December 29th, the U.S. launched airstrikes against five of the militia's facilities near the Syrian border. And killed at least 25 and injured another 55, give or take.
Yeah.
And also, I want to point out, like I said, the initial attack on the U.S. base was in Kirkuk, which is in northeastern Iraq.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. launched airstrikes against bases near the Syrian border,
yeah,
which is the western...
Which is a whole other part of the country.
...border of Iraq. Yeah. There's at least 500 kilometers between the base where the U.S. base that was attacked and the bases that they attacked in retaliation, supposedly.
Yeah.
And as usual, the U.S. has not provided any evidence that the Kataib Hezbollah had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
They just happen to be the group that has probably the most animosity against the U.S. right now.
Yeah.
That's there. But once again, this group is part of the official security, the recognized security forces of Iraq. They're a sovereign Iraqi security force. Yeah.
So it's like our police department or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that. Or National Guard would probably be more appropriate.
So it's like their National Guard.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the U.S. is saying that U.S. service members were attacked in Iraq and two Iraqi servicemen were injured, and the U.S. response is to injure and kill 70-some other Iraqi servicemen.
Right. Yeah. That basically had nothing to do with any of this.
Who probably had nothing to do with the attack at all.
Yeah.
And as a response to that, Iraqi protesters gathered at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, to which the U.S. immediately blamed Iran, saying that Iran had organized these protests against the U.S. At the Baghdad embassy. Trump tweeted, "Iran is orchestrating an attack on the U.S. embassy in Iraq. To those many millions of people in Iraq who also want freedom and who don't want to be dominated and controlled by Iran, this is your time."
Really?
Okay. Now, I just want to remind everybody that it was just like a month or so ago that we were talking about on this podcast these protests that were going on in Iraq and how they were kind of aimed at the Iranian influence in Iraq.
Yeah.
That the Iraqis were protesting Iranian influence in Iraq, and they ended up over time pushing the Iraqi Prime Minister Adil Abdel Mahdi.
Love these names.
Yeah, yeah. Adil Abdel Mahdi to resign just a few weeks ago when the Iranian consulate was burned.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah. In Iraq. So obviously the protests were kind of pushing against Iraq, but then now. I should say, after the U.S. Launched this attack against Iraqi security forces in Iraq, and it got the attention of the Grand Ayatollah in Iraq, which is Ali al-Sistani. You've probably heard this name before.
Yeah.
He said that only Iraqi authorities are entitled to deal with these practices, meaning these kind of attacks against U.S. Forces in Iraq. That his position essentially is that the U.S. is permitted to have bases in Iraq in order to fight ISIS, not to launch attacks against Iraqi forces within Iraq.
Yeah, no joke. I bet he did say that.
Yeah, and that if Iraqi forces were involved in the attack on the U.S., which again, I said, without evidence, U.S. has made this claim, that it is the responsibility of the Iraqi government to deal with it, not the U.S. government to deal with it unilaterally.
I absolutely agree with that. And if that is the case, justice should be brought to those individuals, not the group or whatever. Like, I mean, that's like if a handful of National Guard guys, like, done something, and then you, like, completely attack National Guard people from on the other side of the country for it. Like,
if the Mississippi National Guard was responsible for some attack and you attack the Arkansas National Guard.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what they did.
In retaliation, yeah.
I mean, that's my take of that.
Yeah, I don't think that's it's an unfair characterization.
Yeah.
So, this is the point that I would like to make. Is that it's not, before I tell you the worst part of this.
So it gets worse than that.
It gets worse. The Iraqis were focused their anger and their attention on the Iranian influence in their government until this happened.
Yeah.
And now they're focusing, there was some Iranian stuff that was painted on the U.S. Embassy, like pro-Iranian stuff painted at the U.S. Embassy when they were protesting outside and so forth.
Yeah.
So there certainly is some pro-Iranian influence there.
Yeah.
But after this event, the protests have shifted to be anti-U.S. protests instead of anti-Iranian protests.
Yeah.
And there's just a couple of things I think that are important to point out about this. The problem isn't specifically Iran or specifically the U.S. It's foreign influence on their government.
Yeah.
What these people are pushing for is self-determination.
Yeah.
And I think that if it comes down to it, between the U.S. and the Iranians, if there's going to be some foreign power influencing their government, they probably would rather it be the Iranians than the U.S.
Because
they find themselves more in common.
Because at least they're Muslim.
Yeah. But the point is that it's not about Muslim or non-Muslim or even Sunni or Shia.
Yeah.
Problem is that they want to be able to determine for themselves their government. They don't want U.S. influence or Iranian influence.
Well,
the problem is that they're not Iraqi people that are influencing their government.
Because here's how this would more than likely play out, at least the way I see it, is that so right now they're pushing against the U.S. The U.S. Mm-hmm. leaves, mm-hmm. then they're not going to be open arms to the Iranians because they're not going to want them there either.
Yeah.
They're going to want Iraqi people.
Yeah, which is kind of similar to what one of the older wars here, the 80s Afghanistan stuff, where the Afghanis were happy to accept U.S. help to get the Russians out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But then when the U.S. didn't leave Afghanistan, then they turned against the U.S. too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the Iraqis aren't going to be satisfied with the U.S. leaving.
Yeah.
They'll be satisfied when
everybody leaves. Exactly. You
know? And so we may be the focus of their ire right now, but as soon as we were out of the way, they would refocus back on Iran.
Exactly.
Or Saudi Arabia. Or Israel.
Whoever it is.
Or whoever they think it is that's influencing their government.
Yeah.
Because they want Iraqis influencing their government, not other sovereignties.
Exactly.
So now for the worst part is that the U.S. is moving thousands of troops into Kuwait in preparation for a new Iraqi invasion, I guess.
Well, we have to. We got to go get them now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's surge time now.
Well, and that's exactly what they're talking about, a little mini surge in Iraq.
That's exactly this fits a pattern.
So here we are again. And, of course, the proper response is to just get our people out of there.
There's a really easy fix here.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what the Iraqis are pushing for at this point, too. The government people that have backed the U.S. for the most part are saying, maybe it's time you just, like, pack up your stuff and go.
Yeah, right.
It has been 16 years.
Yeah, exactly.
17 years.
17?
18? 17. We went in 2003.
Okay, 17.
Yeah.
18 in Afghanistan. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went
maybe
to
a
Afghanistan.
Little more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 19 in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Depending on the dates.
we went somewhere around 9/11. So I mean, it's still, I guess.
Yeah.
It's 18, I suppose, for a while yet, because it was the end of 2001 that we entered.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being that people generally want to govern themselves.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know,
it goes back to one of our basic principles.
Absolutely. Self-government.
Yeah. And it's an easy one.
Mm-hmm. You would think.
You would think, but yeah. it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, it's the tendency of governments to grow and accumulate, suppress opposition, and then oppress their people.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you need more people to do that too.
Exactly.
So you start taking extra territory.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is just another, like, imperialistic approach. And it's funny because, like, the U.S. centuries ago, well, at least a century ago, century yeah. and a half ago, yeah. Was very critical of British imperialism in the world.
Yeah.
But now we're just a part of it.
Can't beat them, join them.
We got them to stop being imperialistic, so we took up the mantle. So,
yeah, somebody has to do it.
Like. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
might as well be us.
And on that note, that so, sad
note.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. And yeah. We'll be back again in a week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, follow us on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes and Podbean. Like and share. Reviews are good.
Comments are good.
Good comments are good.
conversation starters.
Yeah. For those of you that have been leaving comments, you know, Carter, Spencer, some of you that have been commenting here and there, certainly appreciate it. And we hope that you continue listening too. And I guess that's it, right?
That's it.
You have anything more to add?
I think we got it, man.
Okay. Well, in that case, try to stay free.
Train how you fight.
And ciao.
Later.